When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. New York singer, songwriter, guitarist JL loves making music on his Ovation guitar, and he likes to refer to himself as an urban folk musician. In this edition of Americana Music Profiles, we talk to Jay about his new single, Ease Up, and his music and life not only in New York, but also in Geneva, Switzerland, where he attended the Conservatory of Music. Hi, Jay. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you very much for having me today.
Absolutely. Glad we could get a chance to talk. And I am talking to you, I presume, from somewhere in New York City.
Yes, that's correct, actually. Upper West Side is
okay.
Where my little studio exists.
Cool. So studio in personal studio, or do you work with other musicians there as well?
No, it's actually a studio apartment that is also
a
house for all the equipment I can fit in.
Yeah, okay.
It's not much, but...
Yeah, right. All right. Surround yourself with all the cool stuff, right?
Right. So I demo all the songs, prepare them before we go into the studio.
Sure, yeah.
Or rehearsals first. So,
yeah. So tell me how this life in music started for you.
Oh, great question. Surrounded by music, I guess, ever since I can remember. And but no one in my family was in the business.
Okay.
And but lots of music all around, and radio was on, of course, before the internet came along, and lots of television shows with music, live performers as well. So it's always been part of the normal way of life, all celebrations and music, dancing.
Right.
And from there, got curious about it, and mostly because, you know, some of the songs you hear, at least for me, make you feel so great, you know, give you that great energy and make you feel like you can almost do anything, whether it's, make the time go faster on the treadmill, or, give you the courage to approach, you know, a girl or boy, whatever your thing is. But and that's what I wanted to replicate for it's like, wow, how does that happen? Because it doesn't happen with every song, right? Mm-hmm. We don't react the same way to every piece of music.
Right.
But I wanted to do that. I wanted to pass that on. I thought, hey, it would be great to be able to write that kind of music that gives people positive energy, really.
So when did you come to the realization that this is something you wanted to do as a career? When did that become true?
Oh yeah, it was sort of right out of or around the time of high school, end of high school, and then I went to the Conservatory of Music in Geneva in Switzerland for a while, and then came to New York moved here. And was able to join bands and, you know, work and do things in the music world, as nutty as it is.
Yeah. Is this something...
That's how it took off in that sense.
Is this something that you get to do now full time, or is there other things that you do also?
No, I do other things as well. Incredible commitment to writing songs and you know, promoting yourself as an artist is not that lucrative for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's on and off. Making money is really difficult from that. So if you depending on the gigs that come up, you're able to spend some time and deliver on what other musicians need from you, whether it's a session or a short-term,
right.
you know, tour or a little bit of collaboration on other things. But for the most part, I'm interested in, again, you know, doing my thing, as they say, right?
Right.
So in that respect, it's a roller coaster ride,
sure.
of course,
yeah.
you know.
I was reading in your bio notes that you consider yourself a pop songwriter, singer-songwriter, but you even use the word urban folk music.
Go ahead.
I wanted to have you elaborate on that. That's an interesting term.
Sure. I mean, you know, it's always been a bit of a struggle to reconcile genres with me, because I have really two genres that I use when I listen to other people's music. One, I like it, but I don't think I'm going to listen to it again, or if it happens, I'm not going to turn it off and throw it out of the
right.
window or something. And the second one is, wow, I like it, and play it again. I want to hear that again. Wow, I need to check this out. How was that put together? And it doesn't matter whether it's a Chopin piece, right? I don't listen to every single nocturne that he wrote, but mm-hmm. some of them are just like, wow. And same with rap music, if you put that at the other end of the spectrum. And it's like, oh, wow, this is cool, you know? Whether it's clever lyrics by, you know, 50 Cent or Eminem, it's just like, wow, that is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So when I write music, I'm not thinking in terms of, wait, where is that going to be released, right? What blog
okay.
is
yeah.
going to give me a review, because it's right in the pocket of the people that they reach out to? And I may explain why, you know, or part of an explanation maybe as to why it's difficult for me to make music as a solo artist, make money as a solo artist. But fitting into these classifications, you know, when you buy a record and everything on the record sounds the same, right? And there's value in that. There's value because if you're in the mood as a listener to
sure.
to listen to, you know, romantic classical guitar for a quiet evening at home while you read a book,
right?
You don't want the third piece on the record to be like a, you know, pounding disco piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
But from a writing standpoint, and from my standpoint, it's like I prefer many different styles. So it includes that. It includes sort of bringing together the more urban roughness of certain sounds, and yet have, you know, a lyrical approach and a guitar approach that's more folksy. Wherever that goes, that's style.
Right.
I don't know that it has a life, you know, a shelf life.
Right.
Very
so
standard, but.
I would imagine, and I'm asking out of curiosity as well, performing that style or niche of music that you call your own, how does that, how do you find the right audience for your music?
Yes,
in an
question,
environment like New York City versus if you were living somewhere in Virginia or North Carolina.
Right, and I have to say, I don't have that much experience with the last two places you named. But on records, you have the option to do that. On making those records available or those songs available via, you know, digital distribution, you have the option to do that, and you can send a link to someone
sure.
who is likely to be in the, you know, interested in the style, whether it leans towards something more rock independent,
right.
you know, stuff as opposed to a more country pop. But performance, as you're asking, it's tricky. And in New York, you know, it's more a question of picking the right place, and certainly mostly just leaving it as a guitar and trio band, that it comes off, you know, it has the edge, it has the simplicity, and the arrangements, the guitar-driven arrangements, like, keep the softer or more folksy side of things.
Mm-hmm. I read where you your instrument of choice is a nylon string Ovation guitar, which I would imagine gives you a different sound, obviously, than you know, steel strings, for sure.
For sure, yes. And it's really comes from having, you know, studying classical guitar and liking some of those pieces. It has that really particular sound. The Ovation allows you to mic it, and it has that Ovation sound that you hear also with the metal strings, because it has that sort of, you know, slap thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty unique in that sense. I don't see Ovation's guitar that often out there anymore in the world, but it's something that I really like, and it's also, you know, recording wise an interesting, because the guitar is really, really precise. The tonality, the intonation is really good, because I don't know, most of it is plastic. I don't know what it is. whereas a classical guitar, at least the ones I have, they're not extremely expensive. They tend to you know, give you challenges with the tuning, and it's more difficult to get that consistency for me anyway. I mean, you really need to be very, very precise, as you move through, you know, the neck back and forth, and adjust, you know, at least, you know, in with the guitar that I have, the guitars that I have.
As a songwriter, where do you find your influences coming from?
Yeah, great question, because I can be, again, you know, seduced by great lyrics in some songs and others, you know, melodies. And there are obviously writers out there from my standpoint who bring things together really well and overcome, you know, these niche challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to lean towards positive messages, and whatever angst or anger or frustration I feel, like everybody else on the planet, I don't think that's what I want to pass on. You know, so I tend to go for hopeful, you know, messages and situations that I try to, like, convert it into that. So, you know, if I have a great experience, you know, with my puppy or something, I'm like, okay, so what would be a piece of music and lyrics that convey that?
Right.
So I look for that. And but the starting point is always the music. It's always, I'm playing my guitar, you know, for hours, and then suddenly there's, like, this thing that happens, this, you know, moment,
sure,
these chord changes, and I'm like, wow. And then I start looking for lyrics that match that and situations that match that,
right,
in my experience, and go like, hey, yeah, that would carry the message really well, you know. So
have you been able to identify a particular kind of listener that resonates with your music?
It's a challenge, you know. I mean, there's obviously the live performance where people come up to you and are like, hey, this was cool, and people you can communicate with personally or directly or online. But beyond that, it becomes really a challenge, because you have to rely on, again, fitting in,
right,
if you will. So if you approach a radio station, and I've been lucky with the last bunch of songs, you know, the single Ease Up Into Love has been played and is being played on a number of stations. But you know, you're approaching these, you know, folks who have obviously to make, they have to make a choice for their listeners. They have to filter, and if you don't fit in very well, then it might be good, but yeah, they're not going to play you.
Yeah.
And same thing with playlists. You know, it's good that, you know, I'm grateful that people are paying attention and playing the song and listening and adding it to playlists. But to give you a sense of the profile of a listener, it's difficult. I don't have a good grasp.
Yeah.
On that.
Okay. Do you have a particular type of venue that you find yourself in more often than not with your music?
Smaller places, for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, it's first of all, it's always a challenge to mobilize your crowd.
Right.
You know, and you need to have so many fans to make sure that a percentage of them are available that night or that day.
Yeah.
Because we all have so many other things we can be doing.
Sure.
And, it's usually, and also I kind of prefer, you know, not that I had, you know, I have the opportunity to fill in the Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when that happens.
Yeah. Okay.
Feel about it.
Yeah. Right.
But, smaller places are cool. And any place where you have direct control over the sound, where you know the sound is going to be decent.
Yeah.
You know, some larger places tend to be boomy, and to get great sounds for everybody in the room, you know, they have to be really well designed, and the sound system has to be well designed.
Sure.
And all that good stuff. And I prefer a great, you know, listening experience myself, as opposed to perhaps a different approach to a live performance. It's not like, you know, I'm going to stand on a Marshall stack and jump into the crowd or something.
Yeah.
But hey.
So what's new musically? Do you have something that's about ready to come out? Are you working on some new material?
So right now I'm continuing to promote the EP Ease Up and the song Ease Up Into Love, which is the first single. And I'm also writing for the next album, which is going to be released next year, beginning of the year, and writing as many songs as possible, and then staying away from them so that I, you know, have a fresh or as fresh as possible listening experience every time I get back to them. You know, I find that it's a challenge writing a great song, and that, you know, that you feel like, I can play that for people. I think I did okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So
if the listeners want to check out Ease Up Into Love or get your EP, or they want to come check out a show, what's the best way to do that? Connect with you?
Definitely go to the website jl2222.com. And there, all the information will be made available. All the music is going to be there, and of course, for the most part, it's out in the world on the digital services that most people are familiar with.
And your schedule, performance schedule, is on your website as well.
Yep, that will appear there. There's nothing for the next few weeks, but as soon as something is locked in, it will be posted.
What's a long range goal? What's the next thing on your bucket list that you'd like to see happen in the next year or so?
Certainly, I would like to see more songs showing up on the radio, and that to me is the best, you know, feeling of being able to share great music, if that is deemed to be, at least by the DJs and programmers.
Yeah.
And pass it on. You know, I may never get to talk to any of the folks who hear it, but as long as it's doing its work of giving people that bus, you know, that wave of energy, that feeling of, hey, you know, this is cool, here I am driving, and wow, that sounds great. You know, to me it's really the number one, you know, go after that, anything that comes from it, ripple effects of it, and
yeah,
more offers to play places or hear from fans, and of course, sell music. It's you know, that is of course, you know, impossible to tell nowadays how things are going to go. I mean, if
right, sure,
more and more people stream music,
sure, yeah, yeah, hard to track.
It's a right big, now. Big challenge,
yeah,
because that doesn't pay,
yeah,
whatsoever. You know,
yeah,
just the numbers, the math doesn't add up,
right? Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't know if it's important in this conversation, but you know, Spotify pays you $4 for 1,000 streams,
wow,
you know. Just
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
So it's you can't live.
Right. No. Yeah. I understand.
Unless, of course, you have this huge success.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Right. Right.
And,
yeah.
And then it has this this mass appeal, and of course, everyone I know in this business is hoping for that kind of luck. But
right.
You know, as an independent artist, I can't, you know, finance that kind of
yeah.
Marketing campaign that would possibly
people,
you know, so many people.
Yeah,
involved.
No, I understand.
It ends up being organic. Whatever happens, it's
right?
You know, there's
yeah.
only so much I can finance. So.
Yeah. Well, we certainly wish you the best with it, and
thank you so
enjoy
much,
your
Frank.
Music. Yeah, enjoy getting a chance to speak with you, and certainly wish you the best in the future with the new music coming up.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.